Hey, if you're hearing that music, then you know that this is an episode of Spiritual Perspectives. Spiritual Perspectives, where we take a look at real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. I'm Scout Bartlett. I'll be your host. I'm glad that you've joined us. And I'd like to introduce you. This is a really exciting day for me. Our guest today is an alum from the same university I attended and was a major participant in the same School of Music at Washington University, where I spent a tremendous amount of time just in different rooms than where she was. She graduated from school there in St. Louis, Washington U, and then traveled onward and ended up being with her husband in a musical production company, producing music for radio, television, other media. But along that way, she began to recognize and learn about a set of spiritual healing ideas. And as she practiced those, she says it explained existence and took the mystery out of living and removed a tremendous amount of fear so that her life no longer needed to be fear, but instead led her to a place that it stirred a desire to help others find spiritual answers. So she shifted out of that music production company and went into a full-time practice of spiritual healing. Everybody, I'd like to introduce you to Jane Hegarty. Janet, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. I'd like to introduce you to Janet Hegarty. Janet, this is everybody.
Hello, Scout. And hello, everybody.
Yep, welcome. And God, I was so focused on making sure I got your last name right, I blew your first name. I love that.
That's okay. If people blow my name, it turns into Jane. So you're not the
Well,
first
there we
one.
Go. Now you know. That's just, so the same way that I have to answer to Scott, you'll simply have to answer to Jane.
Well,
cool.
It's so fun to be here and have this opportunity to talk to you today. Thank you.
Thanks. It's a treat. So one piece I noticed as I was researching you mentioned that, now I will say here that the spiritual practice you follow is based out of a book called Science and Health with Keys to the Scriptures, written by Mary Baker Eddy, and gets labeled under the area of Christian Science. So I always like to mention to people that if they have a wound or an old injury around the word church, they're going to want to go ahead and listen to this anyway, because it may not be the same as the church that hurt their feelings. In fact, good chance it's not. But you mentioned I found in the notes that at some point in time you had a long experience of your body having significant food allergies, and you were able to shift yourself in such a way that you spiritually shifted that practice of your body to have it no longer react that way. I'm going to bluntly say, how'd you do that?
Well, it was a very interesting experience. I was just learning about Christian Science. And the thing that was most striking to me that I was learning was how Christian Science explained the nature of God. I had some knowledge of the Bible and God previous to this, not a great deal, but my concept of God before I started to learn about Christian Science was something like God was a big man in the sky who was kind of capricious, maybe sometimes good and sometimes not good.
An old dude with a long beard and a big chair.
That sort of thing, absolutely. And what I was discovering from Christian Science was a very different concept of what God was. And it really appealed to me and was very helpful to me at that time in my life. I was just out of college, just trying to get started with my career and really not making a tremendous amount of progress. And what I was learning was that God was the source of our being, and that God was all good all the time. No exceptions, you know, no one left out of that goodness. With that goodness was the nature of God. And later I also discovered that God is not a person. And that was very helpful to me because I couldn't quite resolve in my mind how a person could, you know, take care of the whole universe.
Yeah.
And what I learned was that God is a principle, a governing principle that brought everything good into being and that upholds and inspires and maintains that goodness throughout all time through laws, you know, that are fixed laws that govern reality. And I found this idea about the nature of God to be based on the Bible and to really be clearly stated there. The sense of the very opening of the Bible, it talks about in the beginning, God. And thinking about that word beginning helped me to realize that God was a principle that governed. You know, the beginning can mean the source, the origin, the basis on which everything proceeds from. And in the Latin and Spanish translations of the Bible, the word beginning is translated principio, which also means the origin and the source and the principle of a thing.
Can we explore that word for a moment, principle? Because
sure.
I could think, suddenly it starts to sound sort of like that it's just some rule hanging out there as opposed to any kind of an active presence.
Principle operates, and I can't hesitate to compare this to other kinds of principles, but if you think of something like mathematics, it is consistent. Ah. Mathematics works for everybody.
Got it.
And it's in operation all the time. We don't have to turn mathematics on.
I could even make a comparison to gravity.
You could, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, that applies equally to everyone.
If anybody's ever had a toddler, they've recognized that toddler has tested and retested gravity 1,000 times a day.
Oh, that's a great way to think about that. And that is.
And yep, still works. Knocked my toy off of my tray again. Still works.
It's so it's in operation.
And got it. Thank you.
When we think of God as a principle, it's in operation. It's always supporting and upholding and forwarding the goodness that it is the author of.
Nice. And so food allergies.
I go back to the food. So this idea that my life was governed by an all-good principle really changed the way I thought about my whole being, as well as my body, because I could see that if there is an all-good principle governing my body, then there couldn't be some exception to my body as opposed to other people who were completely free in their ability to eat anything. The main thing that I was diagnosed as being allergic to was chocolate.
Ooh, ow.
Yeah, and this happened when I was about 10 years old, that was the conclusion that the doctors came to. And so the solution for an allergy to chocolate was don't eat chocolate.
Yeah, that's so, about as good as you're going to get for them.
Right. Well, and so I didn't eat chocolate and wondered why was this the case? Why was this my situation? No one else in my family had this sort of a problem with food. But when I started to learn a different way of looking at my existence, realizing that my source, you know, was not some sort of a physical development of cells, and it wasn't anything hereditary either. It was, in fact, a all-good principle governing and empowering everything good in me. And thinking about that same principle, it wouldn't create anything that would be in conflict with other parts of the creation. So I realized that I didn't need to be afraid of eating chocolate. I didn't need to continue thinking, you know, that there was a conflict between me and chocolate, that it could be for some reason toxic to me, right, or that I could have some failing, you know, in my constitution that would make it a problem for me. And at the time that these ideas were coming together for me, a friend offered me a little box of chocolate.
As
and
friends
I
do.
Thought, you know, I have no reason not to eat that, because the logic of these ideas and realizing that I came from a good source, that was an all good source, I decided to eat the chocolate. And I discovered after eating quite a bit of it that it did not cause me any further problem. I never had any of those allergic symptoms that I had had earlier in my life, and I haven't had any since then.
Do you test this regularly?
You've got it.
You've got some time to make up for it. There's a place I want to ask here, Janet, because you're describing, one might listen to this as relatively benign if one's never had a food allergy, but it's not. But you're describing a dramatic change in how your body interacted in this physical world reality, for lack of a better word. But I want to just check in first. This is not a practice that you like were immersed in from birth, that you grew up in, and therefore you had 20 years experience by the time you were messing around with testing chocolate. It's not a thing that you had to have imbued into you from childhood. When did you actually start to study or learn about this law book?
In my middle 20s.
Yeah.
So, and you're absolutely right. I did not know about it in my childhood. My family was a, you know, pretty typical perspective about health, and we went to doctors all the time. And but it doesn't require a great, you know, long-term knowledge of it in order for healing to take place. The healing there, if you think about it. The healing for me took place it was a change of thought.
Got it.
I changed my perspective, or my perspective was changed by these ideas, and that eliminated my fear of chocolate and even my fear of, you know, being somewhat less than a full human being, you know, having a kind of a built-in mistake or something.
Ah.
I learned that, no, I don't. You know, I come from a good source, and so I am all good.
And so I find in my notes that there's a comment where you said that as you had a growing understanding of this rule book, this other perspective, that you noticed it explained existence and took out the mystery of living, but it removed much fear. And we're in a place right now where I think a whole lot of people are dancing to their own favorite song about fear in their brain. Talk to me about removed much fear.
Mm-hmm. Well, an existence that is explained as being based on matter. You know, when we think of our life as being immersed in a matter body that we're made out of cells and bones and blood and brains, et cetera.
Stuff.
This stuff, right? This is, it leads to a lot of fearsome conclusions.
Because everything is dangerous to our stuff.
Right. Even with our best efforts.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's still the possibility that something wasn't quite right at the beginning.
Ah, yeah.
And the so finding out that, you know, the beginning, the source is good, and that everything proceeds from there is supported by almighty power of supporting goodness, really, really changed my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And it also eventually, after a little time, I realized that I felt physically stronger than I had ever felt from my birth. And it makes sense that I would feel stronger because I wasn't thinking about a physical structure any longer as the source of my strength. I had a spiritual source.
And yet I'm hearing you say that you had a spiritual source, and yet mm-hmm. you also physically felt stronger.
That's right.
One of my quotes of me that I like to point out is that healing should not be reserved for disease. In your practice of working, because this is your full-time practice now, is healing. In your practice of working, what sort of things have you seen people actually transform, change, or heal in their life that wasn't necessarily a cold?
Well, and you know, I'll add to your thought there is, sometimes the thing that is healed also heals the cold.
Yes, got it.
So, it may be something of a fear of something coming up in the future. You know, some demands that are going to be put on one. There's many ways. You know, healing of jealousy can also include a result of physical healing. I had one healing of my own. We don't share the things that come from our practice in terms of other people's experience.
Sorry.
You know, for their privacy's sake. But I can share a healing that I had that, you know, really speaks to what you're bringing out here about, you know, that healing isn't, it's not just physical, but it is, in fact, also physical.
Uh-huh.
I had a job situation where I was doing some work. I really loved it. And I'd been working on a project for about 3 years. And some of the other people working on this project, for some reason that I still don't understand, started to tell lies about me.
Oh, how fun.
And the lies were said in such a way that they were very destructive. So very quickly after these lies were presented, the project just was stopped. And I could tell, by the way, that these things had happened, that was just over, that there was no way I could resurrect it or change the circumstances at all. And I made a bit of a mistake when this happened, and, you know, it was kind of a whole shocking experience to me that this would have ever happened.
Yeah.
But the mistake I made was that I thought that in that instance, evil had won.
Ooh, yeah.
Now, that doesn't go with what I'm telling you about the nature of God, does it?
But I can understand reaching that conclusion. I've seen myself and or others think that before, of these people did something nasty and they did it mean, and it looks like that won. Uh-huh.
That's right. So you understand exactly where my thinking was at
yes,
the time.
Ma'am.
Well, shortly after this disaster with the project, I became very ill, and I was basically not capable of doing anything. I was in bed and incapacitated, and during that time, I should say by this time in my life experience, I had been relying on Christian Science for healing for a very long time, and I had other healing experiences that were very effective. So I wasn't going out, you know, on some crazy limb here. I knew that through prayer, without any medical intervention, that you could be healed. So I was incapacitated. I was in bed. And what I was doing was praying. I was studying the book you mentioned, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, and I was studying the Bible. And I was my study was to really clarify what the basis of my existence was, to go deeper, to feel the power of God in my life and to be more clear about that. Well, after about a week, I was in the same situation. Nothing had changed. I had continued to pray and study, and but physically, I still couldn't do anything. And I was listening and reaching out to God, which is one way in which prayer, you know, is active for me. Listening for fresh ideas and even observing the world around us. Sometimes God speaks to us in all kinds of ways. It's the principle that's governing all things. So we can see meaning and healing and a greater sense of God's allness in many different ways. Well, this after a week, I was really on my knees, you might say, mentally, and really desiring to go forward. And a thought came to me that was certainly new. And the thought was that even though unethical people had told lies that had ruined my career, as it was at that time, that God, the principle of all being, had not stopped unfolding his goodness in my life.
Ooh, that's a hard place to reach when part of our brain is wanting to go, but, yeah.
Well, it was certainly the operation of divine principle helping me, you know, revealing that, communicating that to me.
That we can reach to that divine principle to support us in being able to reach to that divine principle.
Right, right.
Sweet.
Because it's all. You know, and so what I realized when that thought came to me, that God had continued to be doing everything good in me, in my life, I realized that I had taken in that idea, that mistake, that evil had won. And I thought, well, that's right. Evil cannot have won because God, who is goodness itself, had continued to do what God does, uphold and empower goodness. So even though at that moment in time I didn't know what was going to happen, I didn't know if, you know, I would reconstruct my work, find new employment, but I knew that something would unfold, you know, that there would be a place to go, that I would go forward from this career disaster. And the first thing that happened was, just upon realizing that evil had not won and that God had been persistently upholding goodness in my life, I was physically healed. The physical symptoms that were keeping me in bed just melted away. And that very first day when that thought came to me, I was able to get out of bed and start to do a few things around the house. And then the next day, all the remaining symptoms were totally gone. And even though I didn't know where my life was going, over the next year, I saw many very lovely things unfold. I had a new opportunity that was really better for me than the project I had been doing. Cool. It allowed for a lot of advancement and expansion of the work that I love to do. And I also had such an interesting experience was that during that time, I met a number of new people who became very close friends to me, and now they still are, now many years later. And they were very interesting people who brought just a lot of richness into my life. And I think you'll agree with this from your own spiritual practice, that when we get a clearer view of the power of goodness at work in our lives, it doesn't just take care of one thing, you know, it didn't just take care of the career or my physical body, but it gives us a clearer view of goodness throughout every dimension of our lives. And that's how I felt how I explained what had happened with those friends, you know, that my life really expanded and had greater depth after that as a result of these very good people that I came in contact with.
Yeah, fabulous. None of which you could have noticed while you were still unable to get out of bed.
Right.
Just pursuing that same story for a moment. When you hit that thought, did you feel it ripple through your body? Did you know that you had hit it?
Yes.
Ah,
yes,
sweet.
It was a tremendous relief.
Sweet. You know, so you could feel a sense of release as you stepped into that realization.
Yes.
Oh, sweet.
Yes, it's like feeling that you're loved.
Ooh. Well, that leads me to a perfect place here that I want to ask. In every Spiritual Perspectives program, I like to ask about this. You use the word prayer and praying, and you kind of gave a description, and I'm thinking that I'm going to get this same answer back right now. When you pray... Janet, when you pray, how do you know you hit it? How do you know you're on it? How do you know you got to where you're going, and where are you going?
Well, having that, you know, sense of being loved and having the sense of the presence of pure goodness is, you know, explain some of the ways. I think it comes to each one of us so uniquely because we're each at different places in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have different needs, you know. But it's like being touched, not necessarily physically, but mentally or in the heart of your being. Not a physical heart, but... you know, really touched your authentic nature and feeling that it's valued and cared for.
Do you have a set of words you use to get you there? Where do you place your focus to put yourself into that touched in your spiritual heart place?
It's an openness to new ideas for me. And I look for the new ideas in science and health or the Bible or the world around. You know, sometimes we might see something that is so breathtakingly beautiful, where in that we see the perfection of God, the perfection of existence, and that, you know, moves the thought forward. Right now, I'm looking out on a beautiful snowstorm here in St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you can, you know, just see it in the world. Sometimes I know a friend of mine one time was having some really tremendous challenges, and a butterfly came along. And that beauty of the butterfly just touched them deeply. I might talk a little bit here about Mary Baker Eddy, who discovered these ideas of Christian Science. And one time she had many challenges in her lifetime. It was not an easy life for her.
Yeah.
And one time she was in a very difficult situation, just nothing was going in the direction that she had hoped.
Including her body.
But in the course of this, she picked up a bundle of papers, and a rubber band fell out of those papers, and it fell in the shape of a perfect heart.
Sweet.
And that, seeing this heart there on her desk, just really moved her to have the courage that she needed at that moment to keep at it, to go forward. That was actually happened after she had made her discovery of Christian Science, and the world wasn't all that enthused about it. And she was getting a lot of pushback, but she saw that heart, and that gave her a reassurance that God, divine principle, was supporting her, was working with her, was, you know, would bring her to making the kind of progress that she needed and was desiring.
Sweet.
And that God is love. God is goodness, and God is love. And we feel love from the prayers, and that moves us forward. But the prayers are not specific words. Now, I will say, the prayer that Jesus gave us in the Bible, the Lord's Prayer, or some other folks refer to it as the Our Father, you know, he gave us that prayer when the disciples asked him how to pray.
Yes.
And I have found that prayer, you know, to be very useful. And but it's not just saying the words. It's thinking deeply about, well, what is he saying? And he starts that prayer by talking about the nature of God as Father, our Father.
Mm-hmm.
So a caring presence, a loving presence. And as you go through the whole prayer and think about it, well, you know, what is this saying? There is a lot of healing in there, mm-hmm. in that prayer. So I'm not saying we don't, you know, we're not ever thinking about words, but we're thinking about the meaning of the words, not just reciting words. So because our thought moves when we get a clearer perception of what God is and what God is doing. You may find it interesting that the first chapter of the book I've referred to, which is a book that helps us understand the relevance of the Bible to our lives today, is the title of the first chapter is Prayer.
Ah, perfect.
And in that, it is described, Mary Baker Eddy describes all lots of different dimensions of prayer. She talks about it being action as well as words. So a prayer of a prayer can be something we do. I remember one time I had a really bad headache, and I had gotten myself out of the house because we needed to have some dinner. And I went to the grocery store, but I was really miserable. And I got to the checkout counter, and I had been praying all day to overcome this headache. And I got to the checkout counter, and the woman who was checking out my groceries, I looked at her face, and I thought, boy, she looks more miserable than me. And that encouraged me to try to, you know, say something humorous or something to make her day a little bit better. And I don't remember what I said. I made some comment about the collection of groceries or something. And it got a little laugh out of her and a smile. And I felt like I got a lot back from that myself.
Yes.
And I went on out to taking the groceries out to the car. And on my way out, I realized that the headache was gone.
Nice. Speaking of being supported, I want to break away for just a half a second because I want to express appreciation for the First Church of Christ Science in Mill Valley and a coordinating sponsorship across a board of 50 churches who coordinate and sponsor our Spiritual Perspective program today. We thank them very much, and they invite you to check out spirituality.com and christianscience.com. And any church you see, you're welcome to wander into a reading room. I've tested this. Nobody's going to pester you. They'll just offer to help if you want help. So, and we'll be right back.
San Francisco.
Hey, hey, when you hear that music, you know you're listening to an edition of Spiritual Perspectives. Spiritual Perspectives, where we take a look at real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. I'm Scout Bartlett. I'm your host. And our guest today is Janet. It's Janet Hegarty. Sorry, I'm laughing at myself because I fumbled that earlier. Janet has a background as in music, but now has a background as having been following a practice of spirituality. And Janet, you travel, speak, and teach all across the world, and we're lucky enough that you're going to be here in the Bay Area this coming Saturday, January 5th, up in the north town of Novato at a Best Western, sponsored by, I believe, the First Church of Novato?
Yes, it's actually sponsored by Novato and San Rafael.
Oh, perfect. San Rafael out here.
But thank you.
That's all right. It's Rafael back in St. Louis.
That Missouri thing comes
yep.
in there.
I speak Missouri. Yeah, okay. Fabulous. And so
that's right. You know what it sounds like.
Yeah, is that an afternoon or an evening presentation?
3 p.m.
And I know those churches have sponsored it, so it's free to anyone who would care to attend. We're going to give you all the details at the end of the program, so do stick around. They'll explain it all to you and tell you how it's all going to go. But you will be here in the area. But you teach all over the world, I guess. And the concept you teach is how to make change for the better. And I love one comment you've got in the write-up about it, which is basically changing your haircut, a new look, a new haircut, a different job, even a pill can't make permanent substantive, yeah, it's my day to be able to talk, change in our life. Substantive, yeah, that's that Missouri thing. We have to go deeper. So talk about not just wishing for change, not just grumbling for change, but actually making things change, like you described the food allergies and you just described that headache. Making real change.
Change comes from a change of thought and a change of perspective, you know, which certainly fits here with your spiritual perspective program.
Now, if we just scout out that change of perspective, we've nailed it.
Right. So the perspective has to go deeper than the surface. One of the things I bring out in the talk is what got me thinking about this whole idea about making change for the better. I saw an advertisement for a home for sale, and it looked really beautiful. It was a century home that had been redecorated and in a very beautiful way, but the price was strangely lower than what I would have expected. And when I was looking at all of these beautiful pictures of this home, it had been so wonderfully redecorated, but one of the rooms was a mess, and I couldn't figure this out at all. It looked like it had some kind of a structural problem. And as I explored the house a little bit more, I found out that it did, in fact, have a structural problem, that the previous owners had wanted to make the living room larger, so they removed an original exterior wall to combine two rooms together. But they didn't reinforce this wall sufficiently.
Oops.
And so even though this house had been so beautifully redecorated, it was literally falling down.
Yikes.
And until someone would come in to that home and do the structural work that needed to be done, you really couldn't live in the place. And this made me realize why, you know, many years go by and you make these New Year's resolutions and then not much really happens. It's because New Year's resolutions are often things on the surface. You know, I'm going to read those books that I never read, those classic novels, you know, or or I'm going to start running or apply for a new job. To really make substantive change in our lives, we have to go deeper. We have to get down to the foundation and do the structural work. And then we can see change that, you know, expands our capabilities, that brings healing and health to our bodies, that restores our happiness. But it kind of has to go from the foundation up. And I've explained a little bit about how that worked for me in my life, and as I understood more about the source that I came from. And as I learned that that source was all-powerful and all-good, and it was a principle that was always operating, that really gave me a solid basis on which to see my life expand. So that's the kind of basis for change. You know, it's in understanding the source, where we come from, and then our connection to that source. And that is something that is very wonderful to know and understand, is that the connection to the source, to God, to divine principle, is not up to us. It's really within the nature of God for us to be connected, to have a connection that can't be broken.
Oh, good reminder.
Because God is love, as I mentioned earlier, and that love of God is continuous. God is love, and God is all goodness, and so love always loves. And our connection to God is that activity of God's love loving us. And that really helps us make change. You know, sometimes we may realize and understand that we're doing something that's not the best thing to do. You know, we may even feel like it's downright wrong, but we can't get ourselves out of that. But on this basis of knowing that love is loving us, even in our error, even in our mistaken condition, and that love will help us to, you know, turn in a better direction. That love, because it's constant, helps us change. And you might be thinking, well, how does that love connect with us? It's in the way that thought came to me when I was totally incapacitated. That was how love connected there, that idea of reassuring me that goodness had not stopped. God had not abandoned me.
So I do kind of have to lift my thought process out of the whininess. Or not.
Well, when you feel that connection of love, it just kind of wipes all that away.
Ah.
It just wipes it out.
So there you were, incapacitated and wounded by the world. I get that when you found this clarity, everything shifted, but how did you break out of the woe is me, it's all miserable, everybody hates me, I'm going to go eat worms, into a place that would allow you to remember that you're immersed in a continuity of that truth?
Well, the prayer of those previous days, even though it didn't seem to yield any effect up until that point, was really keeping my thought open and expecting, giving me hope that there would be both a physical healing and a and a solution of some kind in my life. So it was in entertaining in my thought the true nature of God as goodness and love, and my own connection to that goodness and love, that was the source of my being. So that was keeping my thought ready, ready for the next step. The, you know, things like that you mentioned, you know, like the world is against me and that sort of thing, those thoughts do occur to all of us. But they're not forward-moving thoughts, I haven't found.
Yes.
Those kind of thoughts kind of keep you anchored to the problem.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, as we are realizing that, we're more willing to let those thoughts drop, let them go. You know, and those kind of thoughts are based in the idea that evil is real, right? If a world is against us, you know, that is a sense of a affirmation or affirming, you know, that evil is a real power. But as Christian Science explains, that God is all good, only good, and is the only power, that is essentially saying that evil is not powerful. Evil, though it can look terrible, like it did when those people lied about me, is not of itself a power. And when I realized, you know, that goodness had not abandoned me, that goodness was continuing, that opened my eyes up to help me to see, well, that, yeah, I saw the evil stuff, but it doesn't harm me. It's not where the power is.
So we're both supported to remember God as all good, only good, and the only power. Or I spoke with Fujiko Sainz one time, and she said, to believe in God the Almighty, not just God the sort of mighty.
She's so good.
We're supported to remember that, but at the same time, we've got physical level senses detecting physical level stuff that give us a different message. You used the word matter earlier. Can you expand on stepping beyond that message?
Well, and, you know, it appears that we live in a material world.
Yep.
That we're made out of matter.
Yep.
That we're dealing with things like snow or
traffic.
Traffic, right. But matter is the opposite of spirit.
Ooh.
You know, spiritual is mental, right? It's something that goes on in thought.
Okay.
Matter appears to be all this stuff. But the spiritual, the thought, the right activity of God's good thoughts operating in our consciousness bring the healing, free us from feeling like we're steeped and limited by matter.
So the stuff ain't what it's about.
No, no. That, you know, that's why a change in our thinking of getting a firmer grasp on the power of God's goodness and love in our lives brings healing. Mm-hmm. Changes our physical body. Our bodies are actually what God knows about them. And God created us, but didn't do it in the way that we are taught to understand the body here. You know, to God, the body is useful. It's good. It's helpful means in which to go through the world that we live in here. But it has no element of harmfulness to it.
Uh-huh.
It's, you know, by its nature useful and good in all ways.
So it's less a figure out how to be right and more a remember we already are? And right's my wrong word, but...
No, this is good.
Oh, thanks.
Absolutely. Yes. That's absolutely it. God made us good, healthy, capable, honest, true, loving. And that's the way we are, because that's the way he made us.
Which lifts a tremendous load if it's not figure out how I'm wrong and then work out the equation of how to be on track. But if it's let go of where I was off track and almost spring back or fall back into truth.
That's right.
Oh, good, that worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's absolutely right. We're just discovering what's always been.
Ah, nice.
And yeah, and that's what Mary Baker Eddy discovered when she was at a very critical point in her life. She had been injured and. She turned to her Bible, as she always had turned to her Bible, looking for comfort and help, encouragement. But this particular time, she turned to one of Jesus's healing works, and she was very familiar with her Bible. But as she studied this healing work, she said she got a glimpse, this is a quote, she said, "I got a glimpse of the great fact that I have since tried to make plain to others, namely, life in and of spirit, this life being the sole reality of existence." She got her first view that, you know, the existence was good, that it proceeded from God's pure goodness and love. And that in her situation, that day, which she considers to be when she made the discovery that she talked about there, she was healed. She had been told she wasn't going to walk and that there might even be worse consequences than that. Mm-hmm. And she was immediately healed after this idea came to her that existence is spiritual. It's what God knows. It's what God has created that is and is all good. And she was healed that day, and she went forward into her life wanting to know exactly what had happened. She'd read that passage in the Bible before.
Uh-huh.
And wanting to know how she could teach others how to do this healing, if it could be repeated. And she discovered through her study of the Bible that it could be repeated, and she began to heal others, and she eventually taught others how to heal. And her main thrust of her life from that point on was she knew she had come upon something that the world needed to know about, revolutionary in terms of being such a different view of existence than most of the world sees. She wanted to do everything that she could to make it available to mankind way beyond her own existence. And so she devoted all of her energies to doing that. She wrote the book Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, which explains what she discovered. She started a few magazines that are available at the reading rooms that you mentioned, the Christian Science Sentinel and the Christian Science Journal, where people just like us write articles about how they've applied the ideas that she discovered to find healing in their lives. And she did talks also that a lot of people found at those talks there was healing that took place. And that can readily happen. It happens at other talks on Christian Science today, because all we need is that expanded thought of existence as being spiritual, of God as being all-powerful and all-good, and of our connection to God that is never going to be taken down or severed, because it's what God is doing. He is loving your goodness. I mean, that's just really, to me, profound to think about. You know, he is loving the good that he has made in each and every one of us.
Sweet. This has been such a treat, Janet. I wish we had another hour where I could just keep getting this from you. I love it. This has been such an absolute delight. I will remind people, stick around. We're going to give you information where you could meet Janet in person out here in California, up in Novato. But for the moment, I'll just reflect life in and of the Spirit. Thank you, Janet, so very much.
Oh, you're very welcome, Scout. It's been my pleasure to be here.
And for everybody listening, I'd like to ask you two favors. One, just for the experience of it, treat yourself as a loved one, because you truly are. And every time you can notice it, no matter where on earth you are, it's a perfect day to have a great day on purpose.